these last few weeks I know have been difficult in a lot of ways for many of you. As we reflect upon what we've been experiencing, one of the things that I've realized as Christ followers is that we have realized just how blessed we are when we're able to gather together. And I've had a number of you mention just the growing excitement for that day that we can gather and we can worship as a body. And we just want to encourage you to be not only looking forward to that day, but today as we reflect upon the Lord's table and communion and what Christ has done for us and what it means to come together to celebrate Jesus' death and his shed blood, I pray that we would really be looking at our own hearts and our own lives so that when all the COVID-19 situation passes and we're allowed to gather again as normal, that we would not in any way want to miss that. There is something special when we can gather physically with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray that that feeling you have now, that you're looking forward to that day of being able to gather as a church family, that will motivate you, that when the time comes, that will become a greater commitment and devotion in your life to make weekly worship gatherings a priority. Today we're going to be celebrating communion together, and obviously this is going to be a very, very different experience than most of us have ever experienced in taking communion. But as I was reflecting upon this week, and as we typically in our tradition celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month, I really didn't want to miss that this week. And so I would want to encourage you just with a few thoughts. First, I just want to encourage you to prepare your hearts. You know, the reality is what we're about to celebrate is something that Jesus established with his disciples in the night that he was betrayed. And throughout the history of the church, Christ followers have taken the bread and taken the cup to remember Jesus' sacrifice and all that he has done for us. With that in mind, I just want to encourage you to make sure that you've really looked at your own heart and your own life. And I want to ask you, have you come to a place in your life that you not only understand who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, but that you understand what Jesus did on the cross for you? That Jesus took your sin upon himself. He went to the cross. He laid down his life. He died in our place so that we might be forgiven and that we might be restored to a relationship with our Creator. If you're here today and you've come to a place that you not only understand who Jesus is and you understand what Jesus did on the cross, but that you've taken that step of faith and you've put your trust in Jesus personally as Savior, and you have surrendered your life to him as Lord, we invite you to celebrate with us. We do not practice a closed communion as some traditions. We just ask that you know that you've come to that place of putting your faith and trust in Jesus. And so we invite you, if you're at that place that you know that you are following Christ and that you understand and you've put your trust in his saving grace, I invite you to take the bread and the cup with us today. But if you're here today and you're not sure how to answer that question, or not sure where you stand in relationship with Jesus, I just encourage you to keep listening. Don't turn off the video. Keep listening, listen to the words, and reflect upon God's love for you, his great love for you, and allow this to be a time of prayer and reflection. But I also want to say this, if you're here and you're not sure you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, there's no better day than today. And so I would encourage you, even before I'm going to in a moment just share some thoughts on the significance of communion, before the worship team leads us some more to prepare our hearts and taking the bread and taking the cup. But if you're here, you're listening, you're watching, and you're not sure you've ever really surrendered your life to Christ and put your faith and trust in what Jesus has done for you, I want to invite you just to pause. Pause the tape and go to God in prayer and just some simple things. I'm not going to give you words. I'm not going to lead you in a prayer. I'm just going to give you some basic things of what you need to express in your heart to God. First, you need to remember that we're called to repent. Repentance is turning away from the life that we are living, where we're calling the shots and living a life and turning away from that and turning towards God. That idea of repentance is literally that turning. It's turning away from our sin and turning to God. The first step in entering into a relationship with Jesus that we celebrate in this moment is to repent. Turn away from your sin and turn towards Jesus. So just express in your own hearts, in your own heart, in your own words, your desire to turn from your sin and to turn to Jesus. The other aspect, the second part of this is to understand that then you need to believe or trust. You need to believe that what Jesus did on the cross for you is real, and put your trust in what Jesus did on the cross for you. He took your sin upon himself so that you might know forgiveness. So in addition to repentance and turning towards Christ, put your trust in him. Pray a prayer of belief and thanking Jesus for what he's done for you and putting your faith and your confidence in him. The third part to really entering into a living relationship with Jesus and what is the foundation of what we're celebrating in this moment and taking the bread and the cup is to not only repent and to believe, but to surrender. Surrender your life to Jesus, not only as Savior, but as Lord. To embrace Jesus as Lord means that you're willing to surrender your life completely to him so that Jesus might come in and make his throne upon in your heart, in your life, and reign in you. Doesn't mean that we're perfect, but that we've given our life to follow Christ, that we've surrendered our life to let him lead us, and that he will come and fill us and enable us to live the life that he calls us to. So that may have seemed like a lot of preparation, words of preparation, but I just want to say, if you're here today and you've never joined in communion out of that inner decision of faith, pause the tape now and pray from your heart to Jesus in this way and just express your love and your devotion to him. Repent and believe and surrender your life to him. All of us, though, in this moment, as we're taking communion together at home, just a word of preparation as well before I share some devotional thoughts. I want to encourage you to just, if you have bread, hopefully you have bread in the home, grab some bread enough for those that are with you as you're watching this. But also, if you have grape juice or wine or juice of some form, that's the ideal, from something from the fruit of the vine, grape juice or wine or some other form of juice and bread. But if you're watching and you're thinking, oh, I don't have that, just go find something that you use regularly in a meal. Because the reality is Jesus, in using the bread and using the wine, he was using two things that would have been common at any meal. And so he was establishing something that would be a constant reminder for the disciples. And so with that in mind, if you don't have juice and bread, find something that can represent Christ's body and his shed blood for you today. And we just encourage you to just prepare those things. If you haven't already brought those together, just pause the tape and take a moment to prepare. So that we can join in communion in celebrating Christ's death and his resurrection and the new life that he gives us. I want to encourage you to just look with me at 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. And this, as we read this scripture, we're going to be just taking a moment to read the scripture. And we're going to reflect on four words that I think are helpful for us to not only understand the significance of what we're doing in this moment and taking the bread and the cup together, but that we would also be expanding our understanding of these themes in our life, in our lives as Christ followers. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" The first word I'd like to focus on this morning, or it may not be morning, depending on when you're watching, but the first word I'd like to reflect on today is this issue, the term of communion. The reality is different traditions may use different names for what we're about to celebrate. Some may refer it to a more formal term, the Eucharist. Some may call it the Lord's table. We sometimes in our tradition will refer to it that way, and I may even do that today. Some would refer to it as Holy Communion or just communion. The word communion is what I want us to focus on for a moment. Communion is actually from a Latin word, communio. And that's the word where we would get community and so many other forms of that word. That Latin word and understanding this is highlighting what we share in common together. And it's connected closely to a Greek word translated, the Greek word koinonia, which some of you know that word, and it's focusing on the idea of Christian fellowship. The reality is God is concerned not only about our relationship with him, that we be in fellowship in relationship with him. He wants us to be in relationship with each other. He wants us to be in a living relationship with him and in a new dynamic relationship and community with other believers. God is concerned not only for our vertical relationship between us and him, he's concerned about our horizontal relationship, us and my brother and sister in Christ. I want you to think for a moment. When we take the bread and we take the cup, normally we're in our church sanctuary, and when we gather, the reality is we're connecting with people not only in that room, but we're connecting with believers, with Christ followers all over the world from every generation. In a very real way, the idea of communion and taking the bread and taking the cup and following in what Jesus has established for his disciples to do and to proclaim until the day that he returns, it transcends time and space and our life situation. Now that may sound a little profound. Yes, it is. It's a lot profound, but I want you to think for a second about what that means. I mean, the idea that what we're doing transcends time. When we take the bread and we take the cup, we're sharing in the same experience as the early disciples, and what Christ's followers have experienced for 2,000 years. When we take the bread and take the cup, we're also transcending space. It's not just about what happens in Warren, PA. When we gather and we take the bread and we take the cup, we're worshiping with believers, with Christ followers from every tribe, tongue, and nation. What an incredible thought. I love the images in Revelation chapter 7 of believers gathered from every tribe, tongue, and nation around the throne of God, worshiping because of what the Lamb of God has secured for them. As we come today and we take the bread and take the cup, remember that what we are celebrating in coming together, it's bringing us together with believers from every ethnic group, from every nation, from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And that is what, in a moment, when we celebrate, when we worship, it's just a little bit of a glimpse of what we're going to experience in eternity when people from every tribe, tongue, and nation gather around the throne. There's also another thing I think that when we come together in communion, another way that this transcends, and it's our situation in life. The reality is when we come to the table, we come as rich and poor, as young and as old. No matter what your situation in life, whether you've been following Jesus for 30 years or for 30 minutes, whatever your life situation, whether you're in a time of success and celebration or whether you're in a time of grieving, whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, when we come to the table, we come on equal footing. We all come before the cross. We come before the Lord's table as sinners in need of a Savior, as sinners in need of God's saving grace that we find in what Jesus has done for us. So today, as we think about communion, think about who we are uniting with in this moment. And reflect in your own heart and your life. Are you living a life that is committed or devoted to the fellowship? That you're devoted to living in relationship with other believers? I pray that as we come out of the COVID-19 situation, and whether that's in weeks or months, we don't know. But when we come out of this, I pray that we would see an increased thirst and desire to do life together as believers. Another key word in what we're celebrating is the word remember. In what I read in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 through 25, Paul writes, "And when he had given thanks," referring to Jesus, "when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" The idea of remembering is a key theme throughout Scripture, but just to pause for a moment, I'd like us just to think about what that means for us as we take the bread and as we take the cup. When we remember, when we're seeking to remember, it's an act of intentionality. If you're like me, it seems like the older I get in life, the harder it is for me to remember details or remember what I said or what I did yesterday. But the idea of remembering here is the idea of intentional recollecting. It's taking something, it's intentionally bringing back to our minds something that we've experienced or that we've thought about before. It's literally bringing to our mind something, bringing it in front of us to attention so that we can reflect upon it and think about its significance. And so this instruction that as we gathered, we're to remember Jesus, we're to remember his body, that this bread represents his body, the life that he laid down for us, and that the blood is represented in the cup, the new covenant of Jesus' blood. This idea of pausing and remembering is giving us the opportunity to just reflect upon what Jesus has done for us. Our lives can be so busy, we can be running to and fro, and we have so many things going on through our minds that it's so critical that we pause, not only in times of communion, in taking the bread and taking the cup, but times throughout our life and our days that we just pause and we reflect, that we remember what Jesus has done for us. That idea of remembering is so critical. And specifically, we're told to remember that not only that the body represents, or that the bread represents Jesus' body, his life that he laid down for us, and that gives us a picture of what Jesus did on the cross for us, but we also reminded of Jesus' shed blood. And specifically, Paul uses the term, "the new covenant in my blood," is what the cup represents. And so as we're remembering, it's good for us to pause for a moment just to remind ourselves what that means. If you read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's literally the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And we understand in the Old Covenant, God had established a relationship with Israel. And Israel, we read through the Old Testament, we see Israel struggled again and again in their sin. And they had a sacrificial system that was essential for them to walk in relationship with God, because they would offer animals and sacrifice, and the shed blood of the animals would provide a covering for God's chosen people. Jesus, in the new covenant, lived a perfect life. And he laid down his life to be the perfect sacrifice, the final sacrifice. There's no need for any further animal sacrifices because Jesus shed his blood and is the perfect and final sacrifice for each one of us. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us new life through his shed blood. So today, as we take the bread and we take the cup, let's remember not only who Jesus is, but what Jesus has done for us. And as we do that, remember even the significance of what Jesus did in establishing what we're doing and taking the bread and the cup, that the first celebration of this meal, what we celebrate in communion or the Lord's table, Jesus established on the night that he and his disciples gathered to remember the Passover. For Jewish people, that was a highlight in their year, remembering and celebrating the Passover meal, because it was a moment to remember what Jesus did in delivering the people of Israel from their bondage in Egypt. As Christians, we come and we remember the deliverance that we have from sin. Jesus took our sin upon himself, and when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus and what he has done for us, we are free. So let's remember that freedom that Jesus has secured for us, and let's remember the sacrifice that he has made in him, his giving his life and shedding his blood for each one of us. There's another word that I think is key, and at least is key for me and my own understanding of communion. You know, in some traditions, in taking the bread and taking the cup, they have different views on how they look at the bread and how they look at the cup. In some traditions, they believe that something happens to where it's actually the bread and the cup become the actual body and blood of Christ. In our tradition, we believe that these are symbolic, that what Jesus was establishing was something to remind us of what we've just talked about, the importance of remembering that the bread is a representation of Jesus' body and the cup is the representation of Jesus' shed blood and the new covenant of his blood. But I think it's important that we also remember that there is a special aspect of God's presence that comes to meet us when we take the bread and take the cup. While the elements that we take may be symbols, we celebrate the fact that Jesus becomes very real and present with us when we gather in his name to worship him. When we gather, we celebrate and we understand that we don't just gather with other believers, but that Jesus is there in our midst. When two or more gather in his name, he is there with us. And as we take the bread and take the cup, I believe that Jesus manifests his presence with us in a very real way. More in a spiritual sense than in a physical sense, if some of the traditions and how they would look at the bread and the cup. But the very presence of Christ comes to minister to our hearts in this moment. Do you remember we just read through over the last few weeks, through celebrating Jesus' resurrection, we looked at Luke 24. And in Luke 24, after Jesus rises from the dead, you have the account of Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus with a couple of the disciples. And it's a fascinating account because the disciples don't recognize who Jesus is at first. The story picks up in verse 28. If they get back to their home and they invite Jesus, not even knowing it's Jesus, they invite him to stay with them. And this is what it reads in Luke 24, verse 28 through 35. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day now is far spent." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Did you catch the scene here? The disciples, for some reason, they can't understand who Jesus is. There's a cloud there. But as soon as Jesus gave thanks and he broke the bread, they recognized him. And this passage ends in that statement in verse 35, that he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. As Christians, we celebrate the fact that Christ is always present with us. But I believe that when we gather and we celebrate with other believers and taking the bread and taking the cup, Jesus is present with us in a very special way. He manifests his presence. God's Spirit manifests his presence with us in this moment that we might know him. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 includes one last word I'd like to highlight, just to help us to understand greater, have a greater understanding of the significance of what we celebrate in taking the bread and the cup. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now, one of the things that's significant about that verse is that until Jesus returns, we're going to continue celebrating communion. Until that day that Jesus returns for his church, we will continue to break bread together and drink from the cup. We do this so that we can, in this day, we can remember and celebrate what he has done for us. We come today recognizing that what we are about to do in taking the bread and the cup is not only about our relationship to him, and what takes place among believers, but in a very real way, when the world looks and they see believers gathering together in Jesus' name, gathered together, breaking bread and drinking from the cup and proclaiming the Lord's death, it gives a picture to the world of our unity and our devotion to our Savior. You know, I think that too often we allow things that divide us to become too important, whether that's across denominational lines or even within an individual church body. We can look at our differences and fail to remember that what we said earlier, that whether we are rich, whether we are poor, whether we are struggling, whether we're celebrating, no matter what our season of life, no matter who we are and what we are experiencing, when we gather together in the name of Christ and celebrate what Jesus has done for us, we lift Christ up to the world. So today I want to encourage you, as we take the bread and we take the cup, that we not only celebrate the relationship, that vertical relationship between us and our Father, and that we celebrate that horizontal relationship between us and all believers across the ages, but that we also remember that when we lift up Christ crucified and resurrected, that we're lifting him up, we're proclaiming the truth of the good news to the world. In a moment, the worship team is going to lead us in a song. And as they do that, I just want to encourage you to prepare your hearts. Prepare your hearts for taking the bread and taking the cup. Take what we've just reflected on in this moment. Listen to the words of the song. And let God do something special in your heart and your life today. It's my prayer as we go into this time of worship, in song and in breaking the bread and drinking the cup, that Jesus will speak to you, that you will sense his presence, and that we will lift up Christ.
Jesus.
The Apostle Paul again wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 24, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" This bread represents Christ's body that he freely laid down for you and for me. In remembrance of his love and sacrifice, let us take together. The Apostle Paul continues in verse 25. "In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" This cup represents Christ's shed blood. He shed his blood and became the perfect atonement covering for our sin. This cup reminds us of the forgiveness that we find in Jesus and the new life that he gives us. In remembrance of Jesus' love and his sacrifice and his shed blood, let us take together.
not know lies into his light. His plans are good, you're on his side. God of perfect peace, you are here with me on this raging sea. It's true, you won't let me go. You're my joy, my hope, I will rest my soul in you. Sing, my soul now sing, for he is strong and you are weak. Everything your Savior's praise, wave after wave. God of perfect peace, you are here with me on this raging sea. It's true, you won't let me go. You're my joy, my hope, I will my soul be. I will call upon your name. You're above my circumstance. All my life is in your hands. I will call upon your name. You're above my circumstance. All my life is in your hands. I will call upon your name. You're above my circumstance. All my life is in your hands. I will call upon your name. You're above my circumstance. All my life is in your hands. God of perfect peace, you are here with me on this raging sea. It's true, you won't let me go. You're my joy, my hope, I will rest my soul in you. I will rest my soul in you.
I really hope and I pray that God met you in a very special way this morning. But as we prepare to go back about our regular life, no matter how strange our lives may be today, I'd like to just remind you that what we reflected upon today is not only significant for our coming together and breaking bread together, but is significant for how we live our lives as Christ followers. I want to encourage you to make a commitment in your life to devote yourself to the gathering regularly with believers. While that may be restricted in a lot of ways right now, we encourage you to make use of the online tools that we have to connect with other people. But when the restrictions are lifted, I pray that we would see an increased devotion to gathering together, to worshiping Christ together. But I also pray that we would just pause throughout our day, each day this week, and remember what Jesus has done for us. Remember his sacrifice upon the cross and what he gives us through his death and his resurrection. But I also pray that you would remember and develop an awareness, cultivate an awareness of Jesus' presence with you each day. He wants to be close to you. He stands at the door of your life and invites you to open up the door so that he can come in and fellowship with you. Let's continue each day in seeking that close, intimate fellowship with him. And let's also remember that our unity as a body, as Christ followers who understand that what brings us together is Christ and what he has done for us, that when we are united and we proclaim the good news to the world, that the world will see Jesus in us and through us. That's my prayer for Warren Alliance Church, and that's my prayer for each of you that are listening today. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that today, that as we remembered and we celebrated what you have done for us, Jesus, we remember and celebrate what you did on the cross for us. Lord, help us to never take that for granted, but to live each day in devotion to you. May we each day be more aware of your presence with us, and may we seek to lift you up, to proclaim the good news that you have secured for us through your death and resurrection, the new life, the forgiveness, the hope of eternity that we find in you. May we proclaim that to the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.